And episode number 15 of the Pinstripe Planes podcast is brought to you by the 2-hour subway trip that I think I'm taking on Friday to maybe interview both Didi Gregorius and Aaron Hicks.
Welcome to the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. Here's radio host and lifelong Yankees fan, Ralphie Aversa.
And welcome to episode number 15 of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. You can find us, of course, anywhere that you get podcasts, at Pinstripe Lanes on all your favorite social networks and PinstripeLanesPodcast.com. I'm Ralphie Aversa, at Ralphie Aversa on all social networks, radio host, lifelong Yankees fan. Been a few weeks, couple of reasons for the hiatus have mainly had to do with some guest scheduling issues, and on top of that, a family issue that arose on Labor Day weekend. So that's kind of what's been the delay for everything. Sorry about that. And if you're wondering, everything with the family's cool. Thank you for asking. All that said, I think we're going to drop two podcasts this week. We have a great episode for you this week. We welcome back from our last episode, episode number 14, Jimmy McKay, the director of communications at Fox Rehabilitation, a physical therapist, the host of the PT Pinecast. A little bit of an update on Aaron Judge. Yeah, from the last podcast to now, still no Aaron Judge, but things progressing in the right direction. We will talk about that shortly with Mr. McKay, my former colleague when I lived back in Scranton, where coincidentally enough, Aaron Judge might be heading to soon for maybe a rehab game if the Rail Riders hang around here in the playoffs. All right. Also, I spoke with a source at the Yankees about ticketing and about the fan experience as it relates to the GA spaces within Yankee Stadium. I think one of the more underreported parts of this whole notion from last postseason that the new house was starting to sound like the old house. You know, people obviously point first and foremost to what's happening on the field. You have a young, energized team that's playing well, but I think a lot needs to be said as well of what the Yankees have done with the stadium and to get some fans into the stadium. The new house is never going to sound like the old house. It's never going to feel like the old house. It came pretty close last postseason, though. Obviously, the GA areas, the pinstripe pass, and I think even too, like a lot of the different food and beverage options that we're seeing all played a role in that. And certainly the Yankees have taken note because they've only done things to enhance those options and kind of build on those options as we've gone throughout the 2018 season and now into the postseason. A number of different caveats since our last episode. We did talk about, I believe, the ballpark pass returning for the month of September. I have some more information as to why that is and if we can expect it next year. Plus, the Yankees, for their postseason ticketing, first time they've ever done this, using Ticketmaster's verified fan service. Why are they doing that? I have some answers for you there as well. And a new wine bar has opened up at Yankee Stadium behind Section 106, the City Winery Wine Bar. Why did that open up? Can we expect more things like it? A lot of, I can't tell you who I spoke with, but I did speak with someone on background about these things that are happening regarding ticketing and the fan experience at Yankee Stadium. And if you've listened to this podcast, you know that's one of our wheelhouses. So we will chat about that. We will give you some updates on that, some insight and some info on that as well. A lot going on here with episode number 15 of the Pinstripe Planes podcast. We get it all rolling with Jimmy McKay of the PT Podcast next. And welcome back to the Pinstripe Planes podcast. I'm Ralphie Aversa. All right, so let's get you a little update here on Aaron Judge. On our last episode, we welcomed Jimmy McKay onto the show, a physical therapist, director of communications at Fox Rehabilitation, and the host of the PT Pinecast, which as of this past May has been downloaded over 1 million times. The guy knows his stuff about both physical therapy and podcasting. He said some interesting things when we chatted with him about Judge's initial injury, that of course the Yankees were obviously a little too optimistic with that 3-week timeline that they initially threw out, that it'd be more of a 6 to 8 week timeline. And we also talked with Jimmy last week, or our last episode about the long-term effects this could have if Judge tried to play through it. So we'll revisit a few of those things and get an update on what we could expect moving forward from the Yankees' big hitter and right fielder right now with Jimmy McKay of PT Pintcast fame. McKay, as always, appreciate the time. Thanks for joining me, man.
No. Thanks for bringing me back. I'm glad that what we were talking about earlier has actually kind of come to fruition, right? I mean, I think we were talking around the 4 or 5 week mark in the last episode, and now we're looking a little bit closer to when he gets back, and we've got a lot of good signs, a lot of good things that he's doing that should let Yankee fans know that a return to right field, or at least the DH spot, is on the way for him.
Obviously, the big news for Aaron Judge and really for Yankee fans this past week was that we got to see Judge take on-field batting practice, which is the first time that we've seen that since this injury. Manager Aaron Boone has spoken about that before both Monday and Tuesday's game with the media, saying that now we're just kind of ramping up Aaron's work. All right, here's the one thing I want to address right off the bat, because you pretty much nailed the 6 to 8 week timeline, Jimmy, that you talked about on the last episode. We talked about long-term effects, and you mentioned that one of the things is going to be managing the pain, managing the swelling. And it seems like both Aaron Judge and Aaron Boone, when they've talked about this with the media, they've stopped short of saying that he is completely 100% pain-free. Now, you see the work he's doing, and you've read about some of the work that he's doing on the field. Are you at all alarmed by that, or is that normal given this injury?
Yeah, he's 26 years old. I don't know if there's a Major League Baseball player out there playing regularly who's ever going to be 100%. Especially at the end of the season. What do we got? 2.5 weeks left, including 6 against the Red Sox for the Yanks. He's doing it in the right order. So it was management of pain, because with that right hand, that's his top hand on his hitting and his throwing hand, when he's gripping that bat or gripping that ball, that's going to cause him pain with a little bit of the ulnar styloid fracture, or the forearm bone where it meets the wrist. That was the fracture we're dealing with. But he's doing it in the right order. Dry swings, just swinging a bat like you would in the on-deck circle. Some tee work, so now you've got some more resistance on there. You're actually hitting a ball off of a tee. Both great signs, showing that he's maybe not 100% pain-free, but it's manageable, and that's what a good training staff is going to look at and gauge recovery before moving on to the next logical step. Difficult to put strength and range of motion or more load on something that still hurts a ton, but I'm guessing the pain is a lot less than it was a couple of weeks ago. And then as of last 2 days, as you mentioned, taking on-field BP, great sign. And throwing, another great sign, because that wrist has got to go through a whip action when he's going through that injured wrist on his throwing hand.
I guess as you kind of read about his progression and see what, you know, the Yes Network has shown us of both the on-field throwing and especially the on-field batting practice, which his manager called the typical Aaron Judge show. He was, you know, hitting home runs, so he's obviously showcasing a little bit of power. Granted, it's batting practice, but still, what should Yankee fans expect moving forward?
That on-field BP with power, great sign. Throwing, another great sign. Things to look forward to. He hasn't been taking game speed pitching. Batting practice pitching is one thing. Even AAA pitching is another thing. So my guess, we were talking about before we hit this record button, is we could see him in our old stomping grounds, Northeast Pennsylvania, with the Rail Riders in Scranton, the Durham Bulls locked up in a series with that. You're going to want to get him some real live speed pitching, and our guess would be seeing him maybe in that DH position. My guess is, what are we looking at the calendar? We got a series with Blue Jays at home for three with the Red Sox, and that's a week away from right now as we record on the 12th of September. My guess is a couple games in Scranton-Wilkes-Barre, if they're still playing, and then maybe on the road at Tampa Bay, because you definitely don't want a guy like Judge going into the playoffs without seeing some regular season pitching before we go and go on the hunt for the elusive 28th pennant.
Something else that Aaron Boone has talked about with the media in his little pregame scrums that he has in the dugout is range of motion. Yep. With both the on-field batting practice and the throwing, is it safe to say, and again, you know, and of course we preface this by saying that while Jimmy's a professional, he obviously doesn't examine Aaron Judge, he hasn't looked at any of his charts, but when you see what he's doing on the field, is it safe to say that now this has turned from getting the range of motion back to managing and making sure the pain is minimal?
Bingo. Yeah, you're really not going to work on strengthening any issue in the body, especially with a fracture, until that range of motion is pretty darn close to full. So that's my guess, again, as you alluded to, without examining Aaron Judge. My guess is his range of motion is that first thing that comes back, because right after a fracture, the body protects itself. We have that inflammation process and things swell up. And that's a good thing. That inflammation process is a good thing. It means that healing is occurring. So yes, great question to ask. That's my best guess as a physical therapist, is that range of motion is close to full, if not already there. And that's what I'm working on, taking dry swings, batting practice, and real batting practice pitches so far.
Jimmy McKay is here with us. He is the Director of Communications at Fox Rehabilitation, a physical therapist, the host of the PT Pinecast. All right, I'm going to come out of right field before I let you go here. No pun intended on that, because I have kind of this odd, very weird theory about what's been happening with Aaron Judge. Because I'll never forget the night, the post-game press conference after Judge was injured, and they, you know, the media asked Aaron Boone what happened, and he said, well, you know, our initial x-ray, you know, we weren't really, wasn't conclusive, or he said something to that effect. And so that's why Judge got sent out and was taken to a hospital. And then, you know, the further exam shortly after the press conference was over, I wonder about the timing, but then the press release came out saying, you know, the fracture, and then so on and so forth. Is there a chance that this is something that Judge can kind of play through, and then in the off season we'll need a surgery or something that's a little more serious, that maybe a procedure that if he had it done now, it would just take him out of playing for the rest of the season and the postseason?
Hard to say without information, so I'll lead with that. My gut reaction, you know, my non PT reaction would be I don't think so. It seems pretty straightforward, and I know, you know, no matter what professional sport you're in, if you're a manager, if you're a general manager, you always want to give as little information as possible. So we always have to sift through the scraps from Aaron Boone. That's a sign. You don't want to tip your hand at all to any of your opponents about anything. Even looking down the line, when Judge first fractures this, they don't want to tip their hand as to when he'll return. You know, you don't want your opponents to be able to plan for. I don't think so. For what it sounded like and his recovery, it sounds pretty straightforward, but you never know. I mean, they're definitely going to look at it, and, you know, after the season, you know, they'll reevaluate. But the fact that they took so long compared to where they were in the stands tends to make sense for them at least being pretty straightforward with this. Is, you know, these games at the end of the year, every game matters, but as we get closer to the postseason, you want to make sure when the lights are real bright in October and November, that you know that guy swinging the bat in standing in right field is as close to 100%. So my gut reaction says no, but you never know.
Well, hopefully we see Aaron on a field, maybe back in our old stomping grounds of Moosic, Pennsylvania, and hopefully in the Bronx soon as well. If not for this final homestand, then maybe the end of the regular season and into the postseason as well. Again, he is the Director of Communications at Fox Rehabilitation and the host of the PT Pinecast, which you can find pretty much anywhere you find this podcast or any other podcast, because it is everywhere. Jimmy McKay. McKay, thanks for the time and the knowledge, as always, brother.
Thank you, sir. Go Yanks.
Big thank you to Jimmy McKay of the PT Pinecast for joining us here on episode number 15 of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. I'm Ralph Aversa. You can find us anywhere you get podcasts, of course. Thanks for rating, reviewing, and subscribing. Sorry for the delay. We, at the top of the episode, gave you a little bit of background as to why that was. But we are back, and hopefully here, you'll get two episodes this week, and we'll run weekly. You know, I was thinking about this. I think we're going to roll through the offseason, because I think this type of podcast, because we're not breaking down, you know, things that happen on the field and transactions and, you know, bullpen usage, so on and so forth. I think we can do that certainly on a weekly basis. And so we're going to attempt to do that here as we move throughout the rest of 2018. Not trying to fast forward through anything, certainly not trying to fast forward through the postseason. Yankees look to be in good shape for that. Hopefully they're still hosting the wild card game. The A's, I think, have something to say about that. We'll see how these last few weeks of the regular season play off. The Yanks are obviously moving into their final homestand of the season. And maybe if you haven't had a chance to yet, I'll be at the game on Saturday I'll try to at least walk by. I don't know if I'm going to get a glass of wine or a glass of rosé or a glass of bubbly from the City Winery wine bar that has opened up behind Section 106. From the people that I've talked to, though, that have gone to this new beverage option at Yankee Stadium, they're big fans of it. I guess you can get like a glass for $12, but you do the Carafe guy, and that's like four glasses, and you can do that for like 40. So that's kind of the better option if maybe you're sharing with a friend or you're going to drink four glasses of wine or rosé at the game. Hey, I'm not judging, especially on a hot day. I'm sure next year, especially in those hot summer months, that's going to be a very popular spot in the stadium, especially for the portion of the fan base that likes rosé. I'm sure that's majority of which is female, but regardless. So the City Winery Wine Bar opening up, and I spoke with someone on background that's close to the situation. I don't think that the stadium is done transforming. I have my opinion, my expert opinion on this is that we're going to see more food, beverage options, GA areas, probably not this season, but definitely next season. Now, obviously, the Yankees have really moved, and this is like a big millennial trend. This is happening at ballparks all across the country. The whole idea of general admission areas, standing around, having a drink, being able to talk with your friends and hang out while the game's going on. The Yankees certainly have moved in this direction with the pinstripe pass, and now for the past 2 months, the ballpark pass. What I was told as far as the ballpark pass returning for the month of September after it debuted in August was that it was a success. It went really well. The Yankees were happy with it, and so they brought it back for September. And I think especially, you know, in this day and age with that entertainment dollar being so segmented, so fragmented, there's so many different options out there. And especially as you move into fall with the NFL, with the other sports coming up, back to school, people getting into their normal routines, so on and so forth. I think anytime you can guarantee money on the books, but really more importantly for the Yankees, people in the stadium, because you get them into the stadium and the ballpark pass, while it had five fewer games attached to it, does have those Red Sox home games, which sure it's middle of the week, but this is September. I mean, they're still, for all intents and purposes, they're still technically in a pennant race. They're certainly in a playoff hunt. So the fact that you got those Red Sox games along with this last homestand in that ballpark pass, and then you can go to that City Winery wine bar or go grab a beer or go do whatever else you like to do when you get into the stadium, I think that was a big factor for the Yankees. And I think we're going to see the return of the ballpark pass next year. I don't think we'll see it every single month. We may not see it again until, you got to remember, especially if you don't live in the city, probably July, because that's when, summer's in full swing. People kind of get into their summer routines. They go out east, or they go down the shore, or upstate, or what have you. But I do think we'll see the return of the ballpark pass in 2019. Something else we saw this year recently with the Yankees as it regards to postseason ticketing, the verified fan system. And if you're like me and you're familiar with entertainment ticketing, my full-time job, obviously, in entertainment, whether it's Bruce Springsteen on Broadway or Taylor Swift with her nationwide tour, Ticketmaster's verified fan system is kind of this thing that Ticketmaster has to basically keep tickets out of the hands of scalpers, or at least make it more difficult for scalpers to get tickets and then resell the tickets at a price that's astronomically higher than face value. Now, with that, you may see an increase in the face value because, again, they're trying to take brokers out of this and put tickets, take tickets from Ticketmaster, from the Yankees, and put them directly into the hands of fans. But this was a kind of a natural process that the Yankees felt was pretty much necessary and kind of a part of the evolution of the ballpark ticketing system that the Yankees really started implementing a couple years ago when they got rid of the printed home tickets and kind of moved to this all either e-ticket or straight from the box office ticketing. So the verified fan system, I know some people are a little confused by it, but I think that is the new world that we live in, and that won't be going away either anytime soon. Wrap it up, episode number 15 of the Pinstripe Planes podcast. Great to be back. Thanks for staying subscribed and for rating and reviewing on iTunes and Google Play. Stitcher, TuneIn, Blueberry, a lot of different places. You can get, of course, the Pinstripe Planes podcast in addition to pinstripeplanespodcast.com. I mentioned Didi Gregorius and Aaron Judge. We've talked a lot of Aaron Judge, but Aaron Hicks at the beginning of this podcast. They are doing an event actually as ambassadors of CC Sabathia's Pitch In Foundation at a school up in the Bronx on Friday. They're going to be handing out backpacks to the kids, which is cool. Didi's kind of doing it along with his hashtag Didi's Deeds initiative. You maybe have seen some of these viral videos. He did a few in New York where, you know, he was paying for people's subway rides. And then he did some up in Toronto, actually, as well, where he was, you know, sending people, you know, tourists paying for their tours and different attractions and so on and so forth. Pretty cool stuff that Sir Didi does. And now he'll be at this event as well on Friday. So we're waiting to see if we're going to be able to chat with either of them for, you know, just a few minutes. I mean, there's going to be other media outlets there, no question. But hopefully we'll get a word or two with them as we enter into the final homestand of the season. I'll be at Saturday's game, and hopefully we'll have a new episode for you as well, episode number 16. We do have some other guests, by the way, that, again, we kind of had this little backlog and this jam, and then with the family issue as well, it just kind of like it was like this perfect storm. But we should have some other guests as well coming up here on the next couple weeks. Appreciate you tuning in, as always, and we'll catch you not next week, but very soon for episode number 16 of the Pinstripe Planes podcast.